Let's turn in our Bibles for our lesson here today to the very first book of the New Testament, Matthew. Matthew, one of the four, what they call evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're going to go to the first book of the New Testament. We're going to go to the first chapter in the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1, and I am going to read verses 18 through 25, a very familiar account of the birth of Jesus. Matthew 1, verse 18, if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Starting with verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful time of year, the time where we celebrate Christmas, the birth of Jesus, but more than that, the birth of a Savior. And to quote the words from verse number 21, because he will save his people from their sins. Father, that it doesn't get any better than that. So, Father, we thank you for sending Jesus into the world, the perfect sacrifice for us, so we could be saved from our sins. So, Father, bless this message, bless our time together. We give you the praise. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. Going to do something just a little bit different here this morning. The congregation is going to kind of help with a little bit of the message here this morning. I hope you have your singing verses on here this morning. The title of this message is this, God with us. And what word do we remember from the scriptures that means God with us? The word what? Emmanuel, right. So I have up here on the screen the first verse of the song, O Come, Emmanuel. You also have that in your bulletin on the inside, bottom left-hand portion of your bulletin. And what I have asked Miss Cindy to do is to come up and lead us. We're going to be singing this several times throughout this message because I want to reinforce in all of us here this morning Emmanuel and what Emmanuel is all about here this morning, and in particular, this first verse of this wonderful song. So, Miss Cindy, could you stand and kind of get us started singing this first verse here this morning, please?
Come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, O Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel.
Let's kind of put on our spiritual imagination here this morning and kind of turn back the hands of time and what it might have been like to be a Jewish person back long time ago. First, let's go to the year 722 BC. You are a faithful Jew from the tribe of Zebulun, one of the 12 tribes. You and your family, you live and you prosper in the part of the promised land that your forefathers inherited as a promise of God to Abraham. But that year, 722 BC, something very, very terrible happens to you and your family. You and all the other people in the land of Zebulun, along with people in the land of nine other tribes, you are all taken captive that year. And you are taken captive by that wicked Gentile nation, Assyria, that lies to the north of you. You are then exiled out of your land and to a land that is of people who worship false gods and they worship idols. What was once your land, what was once your possession, what was once your way of life no longer exists. You are now in captivity. You are in exile. Let's change the years. Let's go to 575 BC. You are now a faithful Jew, man or woman, from the tribe of Judah. You and your family, you live and you prosper in the part of the promised land your forefathers inherited as a promise of God to Abraham. It is only the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin that remain now as something called Israel. The other 10 tribes were exiled to Assyria about 150 years before this. 575 BC, that year something terrible happens to you. You and the other people in the land of Judah and in the land of Benjamin are taken captive by that wicked Gentile nation, Babylon. You are exiled out of your land to the land inhabited by people who worship false gods and idols that you are not familiar with. What was once your land, what was once your possessions, and once what was once your way of life no longer exist. You are now in captivity in the land of Babylon. It is now many centuries later after that. Let's say around the year 300 BC. You are a faithful Jewish man or woman. And since you have been exiled, you are crying for help. You are crying for deliverance. You are feeling the wrath of God for the sins of your forefathers that you had absolutely nothing to do with. You are mourning in your lowly existence in exile, in a foreign country where you know you don't belong. And you are crying out for your Messiah to come and deliver you. Listening.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile. Until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. shall come to thee, O Israel.
I can just picture myself sitting on the ridge of a field, looking up at the night sky with my heart aching desperately for my land, for my customs, for my feast, for my temple, and for my God. As a faithful Jew, I would have remembered what my mother taught me about the words of the prophet Isaiah, who said that a child would be born to a virgin. And this child would be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and he would be called the Prince of Peace. And the virgin will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. But where is he? Where is he? I would wonder when this child would be born and how it would be that he would be a ransom for my people, the people of Israel. What would he do? Or what would he pay to free me, to deliver me, to free us, to deliver us? A part of me would be in desperation and I would cry out, free me, Lord, free me from this captivity. Do not allow me to suffer at the hands of a Gentile king, for they worship false idols. Free me from this captivity, Lord. Please do not allow me to suffer the iniquities of those before me. Why should I have to suffer from the iniquities of those before me? But then there'd be another part of me that would say this: rejoice, rejoice, O Israel, for it will be unto you that redemption will come. Rejoice, O Israel, for it will be to you from the root of Jesse that deliverance from your captors will come. A part of me wants to cry in desperation, and there's a part of me that wants to rejoice. Cindy.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
It is now a few centuries later. You are standing in the temple that this evil king Herod built for you and your people. But it's just an ordinary day. But you look over and you see that there's a conversation going on between an old man that you've never seen before. But he's conversing with two young parents who just brought their newborn baby into the temple so that they may consecrate him to the Lord according to the Mosaic law. You look at the mother and she's standing there and she has a smile on her face. And she hands the child over to this old man. And you see tears running down his eyes. And he holds the child close to himself. And then you hear him say this, words that you will never forget: Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. The man takes the child and he hands this child back to the mother. And then he looks at the mother and he stares right in her eyes. And he says this: this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign to be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul too. And you stand in wonder, and you stand in amazement. Could this child, that these young parents just brought into the temple, could this be the promised Messiah? Is he going to be the one who is going to set us free? Listen.
Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
That song that we have been singing here this morning, O come, Emmanuel, was originally written in Latin way back in the 12th century. The author of the words and the music is unknown. We don't know who wrote that song. But a man by the name of John Mason Neal translated the Latin into English in 1851 and put it to this music. And now it is here today, folks, December the 22nd, 2019. O come, Emmanuel. Folks, today there is good news. Emmanuel has arrived. He was born as a child about 2,000 years ago to a virgin, just as prophesied in the scriptures. His name is Jesus, and he's called the Christ. He's called the Messiah. He's called the Wonderful Counselor. He's called the Mighty God. He's called the Everlasting Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. And ransom captive Israel. The child has come, says the scriptures, to set the captives free. But free from what? Here we are in 2019, living in the greatest country in the world. What's he going to set us free from? Is he going to set us free? Is he going to set me free from my financial woes, possibly? Maybe he'll set me free from my past relationship issues that really didn't work out very well. Maybe he'll free me from this pain, this cancer, this sickness that I have. Maybe he'll free me from this hurt, because just recently I have lost someone that I very dearly love. Maybe he'll free me from my dysfunctional family that I just have no control over any longer. Maybe he'll free me from the threat of foreign people and foreign religions taking over this country that I love. Maybe he'll free me from narcissistic politicians who want to ruin my country and my comfortable way of life. As great and as real as all these issues that I just said may be, Emmanuel has come, and to set us free from the absolute worst problem a human being could ever have. Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, has come to set the captives free from their bondage of sin. Every one of us, at one point in time in our life, and maybe still today, are in bondage to our master, and that master is sin. Sin has placed us in exile from the Father. Once we had a relationship with the Lord, and now that relationship has been ruined because of our sin. We mourn in lowly exile because our sin has severed this relationship. But the good news this morning, my friends, the good news of Christmas is this: that relationship can now be made right because the Son of God, Emmanuel himself, has appeared with us, and he has come to be with us, God with us. And this morning, I am no longer in lowly exile. This morning, I can stand here and I can rejoice. And I can rejoice. And you, believer, you need to rejoice too. I rejoice because I was once a captive in exile, but now the blood of Jesus Christ has shed on the cross and his resurrection from the grave has paid my ransom. And it is paid in full. Rejoice, unbeliever, because the same child who lived to die as a ransom for my sin wants to be a ransom for your sin too. And the question is this: if you're in here today or listening to this message and you are an unbeliever, have you allowed Emmanuel, God with us, to ransom you from your sin too? Have you truly received Jesus Christ and felt his forgiveness of your sin and trusted him with your eternity today? Salvation, to be saved from our sins, to be saved from ourselves, is not a litany of rituals and obligations as so many church people have done. It's not a matter of church attendance, and it's not a matter of giving money to the church or to other charitable organizations. Salvation is and always been a heart condition. So I ask, where is your heart today? Are you trying to earn your way to heaven by your good works, by your merits, by your efforts? Or are you rejoicing because Emmanuel is now with us and he has already done it all for you? And all you have to do is trust in his work and not your own, because your own work won't get you anywhere. But his work gets you forgiveness of that one thing that has severed your relationship and put you in exile. Trusting in Jesus Christ will give you salvation. And that leads us to a point where we can rejoice. Rejoice. Listen.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lowly exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Beech Grove, Emmanuel
has come. Emmanuel is with us. The question is this: have you let him into your heart? Are you rejoicing here this morning, knowing that you have let him into your heart? Have you been set free from the captivity that sin has put upon each and every one of us? Matthew chapter 1, I believe it's verse 22. The angel says this to Joseph: "And you will give him the name Jesus, because he will free his people from their sins." Praise God, Emmanuel is with us. Let's pray.